Stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live. But first, hi, I'm Pastor Bob and Yurt with our Denver Bible Church update. The tragic earthquake in Iran, where it appears that well over 20,000 people have been killed, that was part of the subject of the sermon Sunday morning. Actually, we were going through the Gospel of Luke, as we've been doing for some time, and we had arrived at Luke chapter 13 and the first nine verses. And verse 4 of Luke 13 talks about 18 people who were killed when a tower collapsed. And that does seem to be somewhat paralleling the deaths of people who die when their homes collapsed. And so we talked about the issue, which, by the way, we're going to talk about this during the show also, not just in this Denver Bible Church update. But we talked about the issue of when people die because of, well, a building collapses, for example, or they die from a disease or a crime or a flood or a fire, whatever. Does that mean that they died, that was for a very specific purpose, as though it were part of God's plan and that God was targeting those people? And he targeted them. They died, specifically them, because God had a good reason, which one would generally assume would be because, well, he was punishing them because they were evil. Because that's the way a lot of Christians think. Is that the case? Well, Jesus knew that a lot of people back in his time were believing that. And so he asked them, he said, those 18 people, this is in Luke chapter 3, verse 4, those 18 people on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? And Jesus answered the question, and he said, I tell you, no, no. Now, you could try to interpret everything that happens and try to think, well, what's the meaning of this? What's the interpretation of this news event? As though everything you do is the equivalent of Scripture. You know, you interpret Scripture. You don't interpret, you know, the things you do, the things your neighbors do, as though you could read God's will from the things people do. Everything, you know, there's superstitious people who think that if you kill a chicken and look at its entrails, how its entrails fall out on the ground, you could look at its entrails and there's a reason for everything. So they try to interpret, okay, what can we discern from the way the entrails fell out? Or tea leaves at the bottom of a cup. And you're going to interpret tea leaves. And so do we interpret everything? Or did God create us and give us a brain? Well, some of us give us a brain, and then we use that brain and we do things or don't do things. And whether we do or don't do something in particular, that doesn't give you a clue into the eternal will and plan of God. If you do something really stupid, does that mean that, well, God must be really stupid? No. If you do something evil, does that mean God must be evil? No. If you do something perverse, does that mean God's mind is perverse and he planned a perverse thing? No. It means you're stupid, evil, or perverse, not God. That's the way God created us. Some Christians have come to believe that God has created us as big zeros, as we're nothing. And only God does everything, and we are nothing. So when he created us, he really made nothing. And you have no ability to do anything. That's what so many Christians have come to believe, this pagan view of reality. So in the show, this has been our Denver Bible Church update, just giving you an idea of what we talked about Sunday morning from the pulpit. But in the show, we'll talk a little bit more about this, and we'll try to give some evidence that those who think that these 20,000 people in Iran were targeted by God for death. If you think that, stay tuned, and you can even call into the show. But now, hey, you're invited to Denver Bible Church this Sunday. And now, stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live.
Service with the weekend.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. In Denver this weekend, there was a terrible fire, and 58 apartments were destroyed in Glendale, which is a bad part of town, but still. And one person apparently has, at least one person has died in that fire. In Oklahoma, on Friday, a hunter found a woman's body 100 miles from Oklahoma City, and it turns out that she had been shot, and her murderer cut out her baby that was in her womb. Now, this is a story that reminds me of one, back in the 90s, mid-90s, from Chicagoland, when a woman and her boyfriend killed an acquaintance of theirs who was pregnant and killed the woman and the father of the baby and cut out the baby to take the baby. It's a kidnapping before the baby's born. And this story is just like it. So the question that some Christians, and I think it's tragic, and we'll think this through, especially in regards to the earthquake in Iran, but the question a lot of Christians ponder is, was this God's will? Did God do this? Did he orchestrate this from before the foundation of the world? He determined exactly when these people would die, and therefore then how they would die. It was his plan. It's startling to me how many Christians think that that's the case and attribute all this to God. So now let's think through this with 20,000 plus people, victims of the earthquake in Iran. And basically their buildings collapsed, their homes collapsed because of their poverty and poor building standards. Their homes had no wooden beams in them. They were made strictly out of clay bricks. And clay bricks stuck one to another, that's your walls, your ceiling, and if the ground shakes, then there's no give and take there. And they're going to separate, crack, and fall and kill people. And that's how 20,000 people died. And so 2,000 years ago, Jesus was talking about the people who were murdered by Pilate in Luke 13, when they were coming down to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices. And Jesus said they actually, there were people who asked Jesus about these Galileans who came down, and Pilate had ordered them killed, and he killed the people and their animal sacrifices. So as the street turned red in the massacre, the blood of the worshipers was mixed with the blood of the animals. And Jesus answered and said, do you suppose that these Galileans, now this is in Luke chapter 13, verse 2, warning, 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 Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. This warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, so Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 2, and we know it was Jesus talking because it's in red letters. He said, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. He said, no, no, stop thinking that way. And then he said, or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. Jesus said, no, no. I remember a few years ago, another earthquake in California, that so many Christians were interpreting it as though you interpret earthquakes. And they were saying that, well, since the epicenter of the earthquake was in the nation's pornography capital, that was God's judgment against these wicked sinners. Now, pornographers are wicked sinners. But if you're going to maintain that, then you're going to have to come up with an interpretation for earthquakes generally, not just that earthquake. And if this earthquake in Iran produced far more death and destruction than the earthquake in California, then you need to make these auxiliary adjustments to your theory and figure out why God hates the people in Iran more than the pornographers in Hollywood. You got to figure out all that. And if Christians, the kind of Christians who try to interpret earthquakes, if they had lived 2,000 years ago and they said, Jesus, did these people die because they were the worst sinners in Iran in this earthquake? Jesus would say, I tell you, no. No. Stop confusing yourself. Just stick with what's real, with what's important. If Jesus had been walking the earth today and people said, Jesus, these people who are dying of this disease, is it because they're the worst sinners and God is killing them? There's a good reason for why they died right now, right here. Jesus would say, I tell you no, but get your own act together. Stop being goofy. Don't blame poor building construction upon the will of God. Don't blame shipshod architecture on God. It's not God. It's poor building code. That's what it is. Remember the disease scurvy that was killing seamen centuries ago? Merchant marines, pirates, slave traders on the open sea, whoever, sailors. And they would get scurvy because they weren't getting vitamin C. And so Christians back then would probably interpret it and say, well, this is the providential punishment of God. God is killing them. God is inflicting them with this disease. And then they found out that oranges could prevent scurvy because of the vitamin C in the oranges. So what? Now a crate of oranges brought on board could stay the hand of God? Now God can no longer punish them with scurvy because they had oranges, as though oranges are a shield against God's judgment. Think about back when God judged people in the Bible. Do you think an injection or a vaccination could have stopped his punishment? Like the firstborn in Egypt. When the firstborn in Egypt were killed throughout the land, do you think that men could have come up with a vaccine and then you use this vaccine and your firstborn would not die? You think? I don't think so. I don't think so. God wanted to kill the firstborn. He was going to kill him. It didn't matter what kind of construction was in their home, what kind of medicine they took. If they rushed them in an ambulance, they were dead because it was God's judgment upon them. So if people are dying of something that simple medical or mechanical devices could change, watch out.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Thanks, Tony Funderburk. Now this is Bob Inyart following that up with the live commercial. Since Tony just mentioned the monthly Bible study albums, you could subscribe, if you'd like, to our monthly Sunday sermons. Get the four sermons of the month in the mail each month on audio tape, or the monthly Bible study albums. Once a month, you get an album, usually six tapes, often more, on whatever we're studying. And we start with an overview of the Bible. We go through so many of the books of the Bible, topics like predestination and free will, miracles, the end times, really fun. The Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil, The Law of Moses. And the subscriptions for the Sunday sermons, that's $24.95 a month. For the monthly Bible study album, that's a lot more material, more tapes, and comes in an album. That's $34.95 a month, delivered to you by about the middle of each month. And you could call up 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYART. And subscribe with a credit card number. Or you could go online to kgov.com and click on our online store, and you could check out the subscriptions, get more information there, and sign up right there online. That's at kgov.com. One 800 8 NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So what? A crate of oranges? God wants to use scurvy, his preferred method to punish sailors. And now a crate of oranges ties his hands. He can't do it anymore. He's got to think of something else. We Christians, it seems that we don't really think about our beliefs seriously. We become superstitious. We adopt the views that pagans have held for centuries, and we say that they're Christian views, that they're biblical. And we lose the force of the authority of Scripture because we believe so much that's silly. How about AIDS? Was AIDS a punishment from God? Well, if so, it's been greatly impeded by the latest drug cocktail, because now it takes God another 10 years or so to kill someone with AIDS if it was a judgment from God, because the drugs work to some degree. It's not a judgment from God. It's a natural disease based on an unhealthy lifestyle. That's what it is. Does God choose to kill people in earthquakes, but then better building code standards tie his hands, so that in Iran, God can kill 20,000 people, but in California, last week's earthquake, the same similar magnitude on the Richter scale. They were both about 6.5 magnitude. In California, God could only kill 2 with the same size earthquake, but in Iran, he killed 20,000. Why is that? Well, it's because we have better building codes, more progress, we're more prosperous. And so we're able to build better homes that have a greater tolerance to tremors. Now, heart disease is still the number one killer in America. But those who succumb now live 20 years longer than those who died of heart attacks not very long ago. So do blood thinning drugs, do they make it harder for God to kill people? Did the invention of airbags reduce the need for divine punishment on our highways, or did they decrease his ability to inflict judgment? What's with that? This is all so silly. Could you see how silly it is, how silly Christians have become? And this kind of thing is what we hear, you know, so much from Christians in conversation. Talk at the office, with neighbors, at church, on the airwaves. So, and you do know, don't you, that in Iran, if prosperity and buildings improve, then not nearly as many people will die in Iranian earthquakes. And if we give guns to all our airplane pilots, then 9/11 type terrorist attacks will not happen. So it's this common Christian interpretation of events that is so unbecoming of godly men and women. So sad that believers who should have God's wisdom get so easily seduced by pagan superstitious ideas. It's so embarrassing to the cause of Christ. And it's even unintentionally blasphemous. It's unintentionally blasphemous. It's not that the average believer wants to blaspheme God by attributing to him these things that he doesn't do. That's not God's deal. And so these Christians, they don't intend to blaspheme God, but they are. As though God would be so inept in his judgment and that man could at every turn thwart God's hand, so he has to come up with some new system, new way to punish us. Let's go to the phones. And Sean in Denver, speak your mind.
I'm a devoted Christian. I go to a great Bible church, and I had a question that I get all the time, being against Calvinism. The question is that if someone can be a non-Christian pretty much most of their life and then get saved, even middle 30s, middle 40s, wherever, and then someone could get saved right away. The question is that if someone, let's say in these earthquakes that you were speaking of, if someone got killed, let's say the middle 20s, right, 30s, but then if they did live, they would get saved down the road. Would God know that, or would God?
Life is, how many opportunities are there for us to humble ourselves before God? Every moment is an opportunity.
Right.
So people wonder, why doesn't God give others a second chance?
Right.
Well, he's given us an untold number of chances.
A lifetime of chances.
Yeah, that's right. A lifetime of chances. And in this passage, Sean, that I'm talking about in Luke 13, Jesus says, do you think these people were the worst sinners and that therefore there was a good reason for why they died?
Right, no.
And Jesus says, I tell you, no. And then he goes on to say, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish.
Right. Now, when, let's say someone,
well,
usually...
Well, let me just make the point there.
Oh, sure.
He was saying, it's up to you to repent, and if you don't repent, you will perish.
Right.
So the people, God is wise. He's a lot wiser than we are. And so he has established that if people do not repent by the time they die, then they're not going to repent.
Right.
Then they are enemies of God. They've decided to be enemies of God.
Like someone, if someone even does die and does go to the gates, he's still not going to bow down to God.
Well, right. The people who are in hell, they're living where they want to live. They want to be without God. That's their desire. God could let all those people in heaven, he could let them all go to heaven. Mm-hmm. And then what would happen to heaven? What would heaven be like if all the people who hate God and hate themselves...
Chaos.
Yeah, heaven would become hell.
Right.
Hell is just wherever those people live. Wherever they live, if they all moved to Hoboken, New Jersey, that would become hell. Well, actually, a lot of them live there right now. But so we can say that God is evil for not giving people a second chance. But, you know, God is so brilliant. Let's say most people reject God, right?
Right.
Most people, that's what Jesus says. Let's say that God didn't do it that way. He said, when you die, then you get another chance. Well, the way it is right now, he says, during this life, you either decide to love me or reject me. Mm-hmm. During this life. Even with that hard, firm standard, the vast majority of people reject him.
Yeah.
So what if he said, during this life, I would like you to accept me, but if you don't, that's okay, because in the next life you can.
Right.
So then what percentage of people would bother to honor God?
Right, zero.
Yeah, close. Right, forget it. And then if that's the way God is, that, well, it doesn't matter what you do in this life, it matters what you do in the next life, then for those who reject God in the next life, why doesn't he give them another chance?
Wow, clear as mud. Thank you.
He should give them another chance, and then another chance, and infinitely forever, another
right.
chance and another, so that everyone for all eternity could thumb their noses at God, spit at him, and say, tough, God, I'm going to do what I want because you got to forgive me anyway.
Right.
So there has to be a line that is drawn that said, either you want me and you're humble and you ask me to forgive you, and I will, and I'll make of you a new creation through Jesus Christ, or you couldn't care less about me. You're apathetic.
Right.
And if you're apathetic, I can't help you to be happy, to live in paradise forever, because your attitude is going to make you miserable forever. So that's, I think, the answer is that every moment is an opportunity for everyone.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And what time is your church, just real fast?
Church, curious. Sunday mornings, Sunday school at 9:30. And that's a good time because you could debate and raise questions.
Neat.
And then the service starts about 11 o'clock.
Great.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Bob.
God bless you, Sean. That's the church is Denver Bible Church. Now, this show is Bob and Yurt Live, but I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, so they get free plugs during the show. So Denver Bible Church is in Denver, obviously. Actually, just outside of Denver, in a suburb in Englewood, right near Hampton and Wadsworth. You can call for directions or call us or go online at denverbiblechurch.org. Okay. So, such ideas submit God's judgment to man's technology. You see that? They make God's judgment as subservient to man's technology, as though the firstborn of Egypt could have been saved by the right vaccine. So the Christian interpretation of events dealt by the hand of God is nothing more than superstition. It's wrapped in the veneer of biblical cliches and proof texts, like at times in the Bible, God did certain things. But that doesn't mean that he does those things at every moment. Like in the Bible, when he healed Naaman the Syrian who had leprosy, did he then heal all the lepers in Israel? Or in the whole world, for that matter? No, Jesus said when Naaman was healed, and we wouldn't have known this unless Jesus had been there and had told us in the Gospels, but he said when Naaman was healed of leprosy back in the Old Testament, he was the only one. No other lepers in the whole country were healed. And in the time of Elisha the prophet, that woman who was helped during the famine with the jar of oil that never emptied throughout her need, were all widows helped like that? All starving families helped like that? No. Are starving families today helped like that? Do you have a jar of oil that never empties? No, I don't think so. If you did have such a thing, we'd probably know about it. Throughout the history of the Bible, every time there was a famine, did people have jars that never emptied? No, that happened. That was a one-timer. That was a unique, interesting way to illustrate God's ability to provide. And so just because you could go in the Bible and say, see, God caused a flood, that doesn't mean that every flood is micromanaged by God. So that when, because of bad engineering in Chicago, the river floods into all these high-rise office buildings, all their basements, and causes billions of dollars worth of damage, was that God's will or bad engineering? Well, the engineers had told the city, look, we got to repair these flood walls or whatever they were, and the city or whoever was responsible didn't do it. So was it incompetence or the eternal will of God? You notice how Christians blur those things, and we attribute to God mistakes, perversions, wickedness, incompetence, stupidity, forgetfulness. That's God? That's not God. It's you. It's me. It's not God. Live commercial break here. This is Bob Enyart. Hey, I really want to give you a couple more reasons to subscribe to our monthly services. One is because it helps us stay on the air and continue with the show. Like, for example, our engineer tonight, you think he does this for free? Well, I guess he does, come to think of it. Well, we have a lot of costs. He's getting paid, but just a little bit. He does it out of love and interest. But we've got a lot of costs here at Bob and Yurt Live, and when you subscribe to one of our monthly services, you help keep this ministry going. Welcome to all of you listening in Denver and in the suburbs via KLTT 670 AM. This is Bob Enyart with a live commercial break. And I want to reiterate these subscription services that we offer. You can get the monthly Bible study album, an entire album of audio tapes for $34.95 a month. You could get a monthly video. Now, most of our videos, about 20 of them or so, we produced. And then we have four third-party videos right now that are each one tremendous. And so you could subscribe for $24.95 a month. Automatically, once a month, you get a video. And they are good videos. You'll have a great library. And then you could share them, you know, use discretion on which video is just right at just the right moment to share with a loved one, a neighbor, an enemy, a coworker, whoever. Hey, you need to see this video. So you have a library or the monthly Sunday sermons for $24.95 a month. You could, of course, make a monthly gift to Denver Bible Church, which is deductible from your taxes, or a monthly gift to Bob and Yurt Live, which is not deductible, but we hope you get every bit of the bang for your buck for supporting us. So consider all that. Call us 800-8-NYART or go online to kgov.com. So what do you think? Do you think the firstborn of Egypt, they could have all been saved by just the right vaccine? You think? And then when the angel of death came through the land, those who had been injected real quickly before, on that Passover night, that they would not have died because they had the vaccine. Of course not. Of course not. You think in the time of Noah, if people were taking swimming lessons, learning how to tread water, think they would have survived the flood? No. When God wants to kill you, you're dead. If he sends down fire from heaven to destroy you like he did to Korah's friends and back in the time of Moses, do you think if you had a right, like smoke detectors in your house, or you had 911 in your speed dial, what do you think you could do to avoid God's judgment at those times? You're not going to do anything. You're dead meat. It's over. You're toast. And so when Christians today, they look at all manner of calamities, accidents, misfortunes, disease, perversions, and they interpret them as though this is God doing this. So God has brought this plague. And then we figure out a cure. So God gave the world smallpox, which slaughtered what? Millions of people died from smallpox. And then we came up with a smallpox vaccine, and now no one gets it. No one. God's not able to do that anymore. We outsmarted him. So now he has to try something else. So what's with that? Do we Christians, we don't realize how absurd we sound to unbelievers. We accept it because when we hear these silly Christian cliches, we shut off our brains and we begin to drool and we make our feet wet. That's it. We go into like mentally ill mode instead of thinking and reading the Bible and taking it more seriously. So I don't know if you could tell. Could you tell that I get a little upset about this? Because I don't want Christians to come across as though we're blithering idiots. So 9/11 happens, and you got Christian leaders saying, this was the judgment of God. So Muhammad Atta was now God's right-hand man. It's just so bizarre. Now, does that mean that God never, in the history of man, God never punished people by acts of destruction brought upon them by their enemies? No, God did that. But does that mean that God always did that and every time it was God doing that? No, it doesn't mean that. God, now, some people don't even like this, but, you know, God is not a machine that he has to do the same thing every time. God is alive. He's living. He changes. He does things at one moment and doesn't do them at another moment. So that's the kind of God we have. We don't have a God that you put in a box and say, okay, you did it this time, last time, you got to do it again. We got you. No, that's, what kind of a God is that? He's a real God, a living God. That's one of his favorite ways of describing himself. He's the living God. So anyway, it's a bit discouraging, but you could think through that. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Otherwise, in Holdenville, Oklahoma, you as a Christian have to explain to the family of this woman that God had wanted her womb to be slit open and her baby robbed from her. This story from the Associated Press that this 37-year-old woman, Effie Goodson, convinced her husband that she was pregnant, and her friends even threw her a baby shower, but she wasn't pregnant. She had been planning to kill this woman and rob her unborn child. It's just so despicable. This story is out today. And so prosecutors have filed or plan to file two murder charges against Effie Goodson, this 37-year-old murderess, in the slaying of a 21-year-old woman, Carolyn Simpson, who was 6 months pregnant. And the baby died. Now, is that a surprise? Of course not. The Chicagoland murder that was similar, I think the baby lived in that one. And I think that it was a near-term, the mom was near delivery when she was killed by an acquaintance. I think it was first they killed the father and then they killed the mother and literally cut the baby out of the mother's womb. Now, this is how sick our society has become, that doesn't happen once. It's happened now twice in 10 years. And that other case in Chicago, you'd think that the whole country would know about that case. Most people don't even remember that story. It used to be when a mass murder occurred, everyone knew about it. Today, you have to be some kind of have a perfect memory to remember all the mass murderers. There are too many. They don't even make the nightly news nationwide. Oh, it's just a mass murder in your state? It's just, what? That's hardly news. So on Friday, a hunter found Carolyn Simpson's body in a field about 100 miles from Oklahoma City, outside of the town of Lamar. And she had been shot in the head. She was last seen on December 22nd. Imagine 3 days before Christmas, 6 months pregnant. She was leaving her job. And she worked at a casino in Oklahoma, and this 37-year-old murderer was a patron there. She was a gambler, according to the sheriff in this case. And investigators believe that the two women left the casino together, and the next day, Effie Goodson, brought a dead baby that had reached 6 months gestation to a Holdenville hospital. And Goodson claimed to be the mother, but investigators determined she could not have given birth, and so she was taken into custody. How did this baby die? Now, you know, this story is just so unbelievably tragic. And, you know, for years we've done this thing that I don't even feel like doing with this story, but I wouldn't do it with our normal emphasis. But we would do the Can You Spot the Public Schools Alumnus in this story? You think, you know, did this woman go to public school? You're not born this stupid. It takes years to make someone this evil and this stupid. This is talent here at work. This is the GNP, the gross national product. This is the kind of garbage that we're getting in our society. So she claims to be the mother. She's arrested. She had lied to a number of people saying that she was pregnant, going back as far as 10 months. Now, how's that? 10 months ago, telling people she's pregnant, and 10 months later, she's 6 months pregnant. And her husband believed she was expecting a child. A shower was thrown for her, according to the husband. So what an absolute tragedy. So this was really just a setup to steal a baby. So unbelievable. The murderess, the woman, knew the mom for about a month after being introduced by family members. And courts in Oklahoma have ruled that murder charges can be filed in the killing of an unborn child. And that should be it. That should be the end of it right there. But they say if the baby is viable, that is, if it could survive once its mother was killed, if it couldn't, then, or if it couldn't survive outside the womb, then you don't get, it's sort of a get-out-of-jail-free card. You only killed a baby who needed its mother even more. So tragic. All right, and then in Denver, in Glendale, we have this arsonist who's been arrested after a tip from his roommate that he's the guy who did this. And one person is dead. And so are we to go to Glendale and say to the person who died in this tragic crime that this God targeted this one person? He didn't want the other people in the apartment complex to die, just this one person. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to Westminster, Colorado. Donna, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Doing well, Donna.
I had to call on a lighter note.
Yes.
Give you some information of what happened at our house today.
Please tell me.
Well, we have decided to come out of the dinosaur age, and we're hooking our computer up to the cable.
Yeah.
So the cable guy came by today.
All right.
He spent about 7 hours here.
7 hours?
Yes. He just left. But
what did you guys feed him and all?
Well, I tried to. He wouldn't eat.
Okay.
He just drank pop. But
all right.
We were talking about issues, social issues, and abortion. And as we're talking, I'm thinking, this guy is incredibly intelligent and very much feels the Lord in his life and, you know, directs his life that way. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy has got to have the plot because we got to get him really on the correct course.
The plot manuscript on the overview of the Bible that
right.
we've got here at Bob and Your Live.
And so I got mine out. I was going to give it to him because I do that a lot.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of scribbling in mine because I listen to your tapes as well, and so I write on that. So I couldn't give him that, so I'm going to have to order one.
Okay. That's good news.
That is great news.
Yeah.
So we're talking, and I said, but, you know, you could listen to his show at night. You know, we go to Denver Bible Church. He's the pastor. You know, I was talking about my pastor who wrote this. And so I gave him the card, and he said, Bob Enyart, Oh, my gosh, I know who he is. I used to watch his television show all the time.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And he said, I love that guy, and I wish he was still on. And I said, well, you can listen to him, and you can come to Denver Bible Church.
But you know, Donna, I didn't think we could say anything good about the cable company.
I know.
But now, hey, there's this guy.
Well, he's kind of the repair guy as far as if people are dissatisfied, he shows up at your door. Because we had a couple issues with it at first, but
right.
He was just wonderful. And we have a new friend.
All right.
And he is just, you know, real wonderful. And he's looking forward to, you know, me sending him the plat.
This is good news.
And so it just is, you know.
All right.
It's just, I just wanted to give you a little something on the lighter side.
Well, praise the Lord. Now we'll get him to quit the cable company and everything will be perfect.
There you go.
No, I'm only kidding. Actually, you could, you know, the cable systems have so much filth, but you also get real services. So.
Exactly.
Hey, thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Appreciate that. We'll be right back. And we're back, Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Yeah, now if you subscribe to cable and you get the paid channels, it's just not right. It's just not right. You know, like HBO, Cinemax, whatever. They might as well call it Sin, S-I-N, Sin-O-Max, because that's the only purpose for having it, right? It's, as far as I know, it's all pornography. I don't know if there's some pay channel that's not pornography, but those are, right? HBO, Cinemax. Now, on MSNBC is just now reporting what other media outlets have been reporting, that there's a breakthrough in the JonBenet Ramsey murder case. And it's not a breakthrough. It's not a breakthrough. It's something that we have had in our – we did a case report on the JonBenet Ramsey tragic murder. And, in fact, we should post that to KGov. We got to do that. Take a note. Somebody do that. We got to post that. And we pointed out years ago that the supposed breakthrough is that the DNA that was found – In the underwear that JonBenet was wearing when they brought her dead body up from the basement, that DNA was from someone outside of the family. And that should have been incredibly obvious even before maybe there was such little material there, it was hard to do a DNA test. And now, you know, they're able to get DNA now practically from what? From fingerprints. Never mind from skin under the fingernails or from fluid from the body. I think, isn't it true? They're starting to get DNA now from fingerprints. Is that true? Maybe somebody could confirm that. But so now, in the past 5 years, our DNA techniques have become more sophisticated, and they're able to say with a degree of certainty that the DNA in the material in the underwear that she was wearing came from someone outside of the family, but that should have been obvious from the beginning. It was for us, and our JonBenet Ramsey case report that we put together just as amateurs interested in justice, criminal justice especially, because the Bible is a criminal justice textbook, so those of us who are committed Christians should understand criminal justice and how it should function better than anyone else in the world. We should be the authorities. We should be able to speak with authority. Not that we'll always be able to discern the facts of a case correctly, of course not. But we should be better at this than the rest of the world. And of course, many Christians, or if most, don't know that the Bible is a criminal justice textbook. They don't know that. They don't know what the penalty for perjury should be. They might have an opinion, but they don't even know what God said it should be. And we don't even give God the courtesy of knowing what God said on so many of these issues. We don't even know what he said. We might have, get 10 conservative Christian politicians who have a hand in legislation. That could be conservative Christian Republican lawmakers. And you ask them, well, what should the penalty for perjury be? And you'll probably get 10 somewhat varied responses. And if you asked all 10 this next question, you'd get all the same answer. If you said, well, in the Bible, what does God say is the punishment for perjury? All 10 would say, well, we don't know. We don't know. So we don't even give God the courtesy of finding out what does he say. But let's go to the phones. In Colorado, Wendy, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Doing well, ma'am.
I was just curious. I'm a first-time listener.
All right.
And I heard you earlier, and I agree with you so much because it seems like there's such a precedence in our society of do whatever you want, that you'll be forgiven of your sins and you have a second chance or whatever.
Right. Right, that God forgives everyone. He's only a loving God, as though there's no consequence and there's no judgment.
Right, and I totally agree with that. I'm just curious what your take is on people that haven't heard the gospel.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the great questions that we Christians should be expert on. And I think that the best material in the Bible is Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2. Romans 1 and 2 on that topic. And then there's a bit more elsewhere. In Romans 7, there's just a little tidbit we can add to that. But and the idea is this, that we are born alive to God. We're born alive to God, knowing God. And then we turn away from God as we reach what we call the age of accountability, even though the Bible doesn't mention the age of accountability by name, it refers to it by principles. And so in Romans 1, where Paul is describing the wicked people of the earth, he says that God has shown to them who he is. And although they knew God, in verse 21, Romans 1, 21, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, but became futile in their thoughts. They became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened, so that they turned against God. But then, so let's take the people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. What we get out of the Bible, especially Romans chapters 1 and 2, is, well, let me back up one bit, Wendy. Have you heard of the difference between special revelation in general revelation?
No, I haven't.
All right. General revelation is, as the Bible says in Psalm 119, that the heavens declare the glory of God. Right? The heavens do. So that someone who's never read the Bible, or before the Bible was written, someone could just open their eyes and see that there must be a God. In fact, in Revelation 1, we read that the creation tells us three things about God, just the creation. And that's the general revelation. The special revelation is when God speaks to us in words, and it was written down for us in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
So in Romans chapter 1, verse 20.
You're talking about prophecy through a prophet.
Yeah, through a prophet.
Revelation through a prophet.
Exactly. And through Moses, when Moses wrote Genesis chapter 1, that was special revelation. God is speaking to us in language.
Or speaking to us through a prophet.
Yeah, through a prophet. That's exactly what I mean. Through the men who wrote the Bible.
Right.
And so that's called special revelation because God used words and subjects and verbs and objects to communicate very specific things to us. Whereas in the creation, God communicated certain things, but not in as much detail as we have in the Bible. So in Romans 1:20, we read that the creation shows three things, God's invisible attributes. Three of his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And I'm quoting here. His eternal power and his Godhead, so that men are without excuse. So three things we can know from the creation is that God is eternal, that he's powerful, and that in his Godhead, that is, that he's a personal God.
So that perhaps through all of his work, there must be something that perhaps we don't understand that will, that people that haven't understood, haven't been baptized, will be taken care of?
Well, I'm sort of getting to that slowly. I'm trying to build the principles to get there.
Right.
So that the creation itself shows us that there is an eternal, powerful, personal God. Eternal because a fire cannot burn forever, so the universe is on fire, all the stars, and so it had to start somewhere, and a rock cannot make itself from nothing, and so there had to be an eternal creator to bring this universe into existence. And he had to be very powerful because look how big it is. And he had to be personal because there are not just atoms and molecules, but there are people with personalities and emotions and the ability to love and hate and envy and rejoice. So the creator has to be a personal, powerful, eternal God. That's what people who have never read the Bible should know. They should all know it because God says that these attributes are clearly seen being understood by the things that are made. But then you get into Romans chapter 2, and Wendy, I think that that's a chapter that the vast majority of Christians don't understand. And that chapter, the reason they don't understand it is because they don't see this insight, that this is speaking of the people who are those who have never heard the gospel.
So can you kind of summarize it?
Yeah, for those who have never heard the gospel, they are judged based on the general revelation of Romans chapter 1. So that if these who are the unsolicited, we can call them, the unsolicited, if they look to that creator God whom the creation itself clearly reveals to them, and they humble themselves, and they ask that God, not their pagan Hindu gods, not a hope in reincarnation, not polytheism, but they look and they say there must be the one creator God. That God, whatever your name is, I love you, and I'm sorry that I've hurt you and hurt others. Please forgive me and remember me. Save me. Romans 2 shows us that those people will be justified. They're the people who are responding to God, to the revelation that God has given them. As Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. And to whom less is given, less is required by God. And Genesis tells us that the judge of all the earth will do rightly.
Right.
So they are responsible not for what they have not heard, but for what they have heard. Now, many Christians, Orthodox Christians, believe what I just presented, but many don't and think it's heresy. But God is a gracious, loving, and a just God. He's not an unjust God.
Right. And in terms of what you were saying, I just heard a little bit of what you were saying, but I did hear that you said why Christians ask why we have terrible things happen. And,
right.
And we do because of our free agency. We have free agency. We were given that. That's a power of God.
That's right. God created powers and principalities and authorities so that he delegated power over your will and authority.
But he also allowed us a free agency to choose.
Exactly. Right. And many Christians, millions, think he created us as nothings and only he does things we cannot. Wendy, thank you for a great
call. Thank you very much, Bob.
God bless you. I really appreciate that. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.